My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A presentation of the Believe Podcast Network. It's time for the Believe in Ole Miss Podcast with your host, Brad Logan, your home for Ole Miss sports. To be a part of the show, email the show at brad.logan@loganmedianetwork.com or shoot him a DM on Twitter at @BradLoganCOTE. Download the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review online. And now, from the vault to the pavilion to Swayze Field, it's all Ole Miss, all the time. Here's your host, Brad Logan.
Today's show is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Remember, you can get $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win in the NFL. Remember, FanDuel.com, America's number one sports book. New customers get $300 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. You can join today at FanDuel.com. Join America's number one sports book. You want to lock that in? Go to FanDuel.com today and tell them you heard about it on the Believe in Ole Miss podcast. And now, back to the show.
And welcome in Dan Wolkin, who does a great job covering college football, joins us today. And we know the topic of the day, Dan. You do a great job with Yahoo Sports. Got a couple of pieces out now. We'll link them below. Appreciate you joining us. It's wild in Oxford.
Yeah, it's kind of the center of the universe for the next couple of weeks, I think, until Lane figures out what he's going to do. And maybe beyond that, it's certainly a situation that I wouldn't say it's unprecedented, because we've seen these sort of public, messy coaching searches before. But I think the unique element is the 12-team playoff and the fact that Ole Miss is right in the middle of this thing. And, you know, the way the season now works, because we just never thought, especially in the 14 playoff era, that a coach would leave a team in the middle of the playoff to take another job. But obviously now it's a 12-team playoff. It's a totally different kind of scenario. And you've got this very public kind of courtship going on between two schools and then the incumbent school. And, you know, Lane is just a different kind of character. So it's endlessly fascinating.
Dan, you've covered the world of college football for a long time. I guess to begin, have you ever seen anything like this?
Well, again, like I said, I mean, you had a scenario years ago with Tommy Tuberville, and Bobby Petrino, and the famous airplane incident at Auburn. Like, there's been crazy things that have happened, but it's just the fact that Ole Miss has got another month left in the season, potentially, if they make the 12-team playoff, which certainly they're on track to do right now. We'll see what happens in the Mississippi State game, and if they lose, that would be a wild twist in this, but yeah, it's just, again, in years past, the season kind of ended for most teams after Thanksgiving, the weekend after Thanksgiving. And that was what allowed the coaching carousel to kind of take place, at least in a somewhat orderly, disorganized manner as these things go. But now, again, you've just got so many teams whose seasons are still hanging in the balance, and you don't know if you're going to be preparing for a playoff game in another month and what that does to a coaching search. And this is kind of, I think, exposing the problems with the calendar and what happens contractually in college football right now, which is just very different from, say, the way it works in the NFL. So all these different elements are kind of coming to a head in this Lane Kiffin mess. And I certainly don't envy the position of Keith Carter and what this is doing to the Ole Miss fan base. It's pretty messy and ugly.
When word began to leak that I think ultimatum, it's all semantics at this point, Dan. But when word began to leak that Ole Miss had discussed a timetable, if you will, with Lane Kiffin or his representation, do you feel like that was the right move by Ole Miss? And if so, what do you think is going to happen moving forward, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think if you're Ole Miss, you have to push as hard as you can to get clarity on the situation because, for one thing, you know, even if you wanted to try to keep it in the background and quiet, the trips to Gainesville and Baton Rouge with his family members and that sort of becoming public, that ended that. I mean, this is now in the public sphere. You got caught. And so you can't just sort of push it off like it's nothing. And I just think Lane is not really reading the room right now. And if you're Keith Carter, you have to be able to put yourself in a position to protect the long-term interests of the program. And you can't do that if Lane is just sort of stalling you out and is insistent on seeing this thing through to the first round of the playoffs while being in limbo. Because Ole Miss, if they're losing him, needs to have a coaching search ready to go. If you don't start a coaching search until December 20th, just say, then all of the candidates you would want to hire pretty much are going to be off the board. The coaching carousel, to a large extent, is going to be over. And so you'd be in a really bad position. Plus, you've got the portal opening up on January 2nd. So, no, I think they're making the move they have to make to push for clarity as soon as possible. But what does that translate to into real action? And that's where, when you ask me what's going to happen, I don't think anybody can really reliably predict that and what the actual consequences would be if he resists or continues to resist giving them an answer.
Where, in your opinion, is Florida and LSU, and how long do you think they can wait on a decision from Lane Kiffin, in your opinion?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, if you're Florida and LSU, you also are in a bit of a weird spot. And again, this thing changes day to day, and you know the rumors, the speculation within the business, as of Thursday morning, November 20th, is that maybe Florida has faded a little bit, and maybe LSU has kind of moved to the forefront of this a little bit. I don't know. I think Lane Kiffin is such a unique figure, and I'm putting that kindly, that he could change his mind within hours. You know, you just don't really know kind of where that's going to stand, and trying to predict it is foolish. But you're right in that those schools kind of need to figure things out too, because they're also going to be competing for candidates with a few other schools, Auburn, Penn State, theoretically, if they don't get Lane. And there was that leak or report, or maybe it was false. I mean, who knows at this point, yesterday, about Florida and John Summerall. What did that signal? Was that a signal to Lane? Was that a signal to other candidates? Was that Florida, you know, earnestly trying to move its coaching search in a different direction because they know they're not getting Lane? Pick your own adventure here.
One of your latest columns was Ole Miss could finish 11-1 and possibly not make the playoff. If you don't mind, can you expound on that just a little bit? And, I'm assuming that would be if Lane moved on and the committee feel like that Ole Miss is coachless.
Yeah, I mean, look, we started to ask the question over the weekend and yesterday just kind of internally about, okay, so if this situation comes to a point where Lane leaves or is forced to leave or takes the job and they don't let him coach in the postseason, whatever that looks like, that what would that potentially do to Ole Miss in the playoff committee? And the reason it's a legitimate question is because of the protocols of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, where it explicitly says that loss of personnel or coaches who contributed to the record that was evaluated by the committee, if they're not available for the postseason, and if that would likely impact the team's performance in the playoff, that the committee has the right to evaluate that and to factor that in. We saw that 2 years ago with Florida State. And look, I understand it's a different 14 playoff versus 12, but Florida State was an undefeated ACC champion at 13-0, and their quarterback got hurt late in the season, and the committee left them out for Alabama. That happened. It's a precedent. It's not 100% comparison. I understand that. And I don't necessarily believe that it's likely to happen, that an 11-1 Ole Miss would get left out even if Lane is gone. But it's certainly going to be a conversation in the committee room among those committee members about, hey, well, what does this really look like now for Ole Miss? And, you know, are you going to have a team that is kind of checked out and is not at their best and is just, again, these are all hypotheticals, but they're hypotheticals that are valid based on the way this committee operates and the rules that are written into its protocols. So, again, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. Now, I do think, look, if they lose to Mississippi State and Lane leaves 10-2, Ole Miss team, I think it gets really dicey if you don't have Lane Kiffin. And I think that would give the committee certainly a very easy excuse to leave them out.
Would it matter if, hypothetically, I know we're talking in hypotheticals, but should Ole Miss beat Mississippi State? A sitting head coach that's been with the New York Giants, Joe Judge, would be one that Ole Miss, Keith Carter, Dr. Glenn Boyce could turn to. Would that play a factor if you went to a sitting coach, head coach that's been there before?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to say, right? I mean, the committee is going to – this is a weird committee, okay? I can't really pinpoint what they think about anything because, first of all, they've had a change in the spokesperson, the chairperson with Mac Rhodes at Baylor getting involved in some – personal issues and taking a leave of absence. So now you've got Hunter Yurecek. Yurecek goes out there last week to explain some of these more controversial rankings, and he honestly doesn't do a really good job of it. And I don't know. I'm sure Joe Judge is perfectly capable of running a sideline. Like, that's not the issue. I think it's just more overall, like, does it devastate a team if your head coach leaves you while you're in the middle of getting ready for the playoffs? Like, I think that's a pretty big problem.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
We've talked about it. If you've seen this before, I'd like your thoughts on this. With Lane Kiffin a couple wins away, Dan, from being the winningest coach in Ole Miss history from a percentage standpoint. That's just, you know, mind-boggling, less than a percentage point. Obviously, he's done a lot at Ole Miss. Great record at home and done some big things on the road. Elevated the program. As they're top 10, top five in the country. Where's this job, if it were to come open, in your mind?
I mean, sure, it's a good job. It's an SEC job. It's a well-funded SEC job. They've got a good administration. Seems very stable from all that standpoint. You know, I think a lot of it just comes down to personal opinion of, you know, the situation. I mean, it's just hard to compare. I've talked to so many people in the coaching industry this year who believe, and I've written this before, that the way that we all thought about coaching jobs and programs and the tiers that they were in, which were very sort of rigid and very defined, even within the SEC, that no longer really exists in the same way that it did before because, you have this compression of NIL, of different programs have access to talent that maybe they didn't before because of your ability to pay. You've got the 12-team playoff. I mean, Ole Miss has proven the last 2 years that when they have a good roster, they can spend for a good roster. They have the potential to be in the college football playoff. So as a coach, I don't know what more you really want than that in this era. I guess I would just say, like, there's no defined hierarchy now, in my opinion, between most of them. I mean, look, you can still look at LSU and say, yeah, that may be a little bit better, but it's not like fundamentally different the way it maybe used to be. Now, what does that mean in terms of candidates? Who knows? You know, I mean, certainly a lot of talk about John Sumrall. You know, people have told me, you know, different things. Some would say, yeah, well, he's got a connection to that program. He was there before. He would love to go to Ole Miss. Some people look at that and say, well, geez, you know, he wouldn't want to follow Lane. That may be a factor for some people, you know, being maybe a little bit intimidated by the standard that's been set with Kiffin the last few years. I don't know. I'm sure they would get a good coach, mainly because they've just kind of got their stuff together right now. And I think that's important in the business.
This is Kevin Harlan, and tomorrow, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. First, Pascal Siakam and the Pacers square off against Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Then, it's Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets facing Kevin Durant and the Rockets. If you're not a Prime member, just sign up for a 30-day free trial. Pacers Cavs, Nuggets Rockets. Coverage starts tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
At 1-800-Flowers.com, we know that connections are at the heart of being human. Whether celebrating life's joys or comforting during tough times, 1-800-Flowers helps you express what words can't. For nearly 50 years, millions have trusted 1-800-Flowers to deliver thoughtful gifts that help create lasting bonds. Because it's more than just a gift. It's your way of showing you care. Visit 1-800-Flowers.com/WWO and connect today. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/WWO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Odd may not be the right word, and I know we're talking about Lane Kiffin, and he's kind of all over the place. Are you surprised that Lane, or are you surprised a sitting head coach would look around at 10-1 and almost a foot in the door of the college football playoff with one game left? That they, by the way, are a 10.5-point favorite.
Well, it's hard for me to answer that because all of these coaches are super ambitious, and certainly somebody like Lane Kiffin, who's been around the SEC for a very long time, you know, more than 15 years, going back to Tennessee, I'm sure in many ways still kind of views the world through a little bit of a different prism. And you can see in some of his comments about, you know, attendance and atmosphere and almost kind of sticking a little bit of a knife in to Ole Miss fans after that game the other day, where he's talking about, well, you know, did you see this place last week? It wasn't that great of an atmosphere. You know, I'm not quoting him exactly, but that was sort of the import of his comments. Like, you know, in his mind, maybe he still looks at LSU as a tier above, as a, you know, blue blood job that Ole Miss isn't now. You know, I don't know, but these guys sometimes always feel like the grass is greener somewhere else. And that's just maybe the way they're wired.
We knew, looking at the SEC, we knew that there was trouble in Gainesville with Billy Napier. But with Auburn on the plains with Hugh Freeze and then LSU's Brian Kelly, which one of those jobs surprised you the most that they relieved either one of their coaches?
Well, I think you have to say Brian Kelly. We knew going into the season there was trouble at Florida and that they nearly fired Billy last year. And honestly, they probably should have if we're being totally 100% honest about it. I think that was a mistake to bring him back based on kind of a fool's gold winning streak at the end of last season. With Hugh, again, we knew coming into the year things were not good there, and if it didn't go the right way, that he was probably going to be in trouble. The Brian Kelly thing just wasn't really on a lot of people's radars coming into the year because they where they were in the preseason, they win that game at Clemson. I was there opening the season, and boy, like people around that program thought they were going to win the national championship this year. They thought they had finally hit it big in the portal and everything was going to be great. Garrett Nussmeier and, you know, Blake Baker's defense and all that stuff. And then it just doesn't work out. And so to me, it's just surprising that it fell apart so quickly because we're sitting there the first weekend of September thinking LSU is, you know, very much in this thing to win the title.
Before we get you out of here, what team do you like this year? What team kind of jumps out at you? And what do you think the final four, the four best teams, and who do you think's got the best chance of winning it all this year in college football?
Yeah, Ohio State's, I think, the best team. Like, there's no – I don't think there's really a debate about that. Now, again, that doesn't mean they're going to win it all. If you remember, we're sitting here last year talking about how dominant Oregon was, and they win the Big Ten title, and then they get that bye, and they just come out flat in the Rose Bowl, in the quarterfinals. So that could happen again. And you look at somebody like Ohio State, they have not really been challenged. Now, I assume they will be. They're going to be challenged in a certain way, especially mentally against Michigan. And then they're probably going to play Indiana in the Big Ten title game, and that's going to be a good game. But, you know, you do wonder, they've just kind of been on cruise control a little bit. Is that because they're just so much better than everybody else that they just can't lose? Or maybe, you know, it's a little bit of fool's gold because the competition that they've played isn't as stout, and that's going to catch up with them when it comes time to get in a quarterfinal, a semifinal, where you're really under the gun and you've got to make plays in the fourth quarter. We've seen teams that just get very uncomfortable in those situations because they haven't been in them very often through the year. So that's certainly, to me, the thing that could trip up Ohio State as you get deeper into the season. But, you know, again, and in some ways, we may see a little bit of that with A&M. A&M, again, excellent team, bagged the win early at Notre Dame. But they have not played the most stout SEC schedule. Now, they still have to play Texas next weekend. That's going to be really interesting. We're going to find out how good Texas A&M really is. And are they really like a true championship contender? I think Texas Tech is a team that nobody's going to want to face them in the playoff. They are an absolute wrecking ball defensively. Their front is really good. Now, they're not going to score a ton of points against quality competition, but they could definitely get into that top four and sneak out a quarterfinal win. You know, and then right now Georgia seems like they're playing very well. So, you know, I think you kind of got to focus there, but I think it's somewhat open. I think we're going to see some really interesting and good quarterfinal matchups.
One more question. Sure. Since we've got you, I'd love your thoughts. You've followed Lane Kiffin in his career, I'm sure, since the inception of the Lane Kiffin experience. What makes him so good?
Well, it's interesting because when you look at him in totality, he does not present the way that most football coaches, elite level football coaches, present in a lot of ways. You know, he's a little bit socially awkward. He is certainly a little bit, he shows publicly how distracted he can get with some of his social media stuff. You know, you go back to the beginning, it was a lot of gimmicks and recruiting stuff at Tennessee that got him in hot water. So there's certainly been like an evolution of different versions of Lane. But the fundamental underpinning of his success has always just been his ability as a play caller, as a strategist. He is certainly willing to take chances. I think he takes often chances that are ill-advised on the field with his play calling and some of the way he you know, gambles and often blows up on him. But I think he's got teams that buy into it. And so, you know, I think fundamentally he's just a really, really good football mind. And that is able to carry him when he has, you know, when he lacks focus or whatever in other parts of the job. So he's always a really interesting figure. And we're seeing a different version of Lane than we saw when he was, you know, 35 years old and just kind of a little bit of a wild card. I mean, he's still a wild card, but, you know, he's evolved. I will say this, however, and I think this is a good thing to end on. It is, if you take a step back, as good a job as he's done at Ole Miss and as many games as he's won all over the map, he has never won a conference championship, right? He's never won a national championship. And it is kind of amazing, you know, where he is and how wanted he is by all of these schools when, like, a couple years ago or even last year, you're sitting there going, like, God, like, you had a clear path to the playoff and you blew it. And he's blown a lot of stuff. Like, he's blown a lot of winnable games. He's had weird losses. He's had bad losses. He's had meltdowns. It's, like, it's not a spotless coaching record, is what I'm saying. And so even, I think 5 years ago, like even the best possible version that you could imagine of Lane at Ole Miss, I think would have been hard to come up with him being this much in demand.
The collective world of college football is kind of hinging on what happens in Oxford with Lane Kiffin. Does he stay in Oxford? Does he take one of the many other jobs he has before him? Dan Wolkin of Yahoo Sports has done a great job. He's been a lot of different places, but I know you've seen him on Twitter/X at Dan Wolkin, and you can follow all of his content there. He's got a couple of really good pieces now out about Ole Miss. Dan, thanks very much for joining us. I really appreciate it, and look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right, thanks, Brad.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.